There's a word in the Greek language that's applied only to Jesus, and we're to be conformed into His image. So we ought to be feeling the same thing He's feeling. Many times in the New Testament, it doesn't do like modern novels. Modern novels are really geared to how people are feel, what they're going through. It tells, the loneliness, the agitation, their heart, and all this. The Gospels primarily are told just actions. They went, they did, they didn't. Except there are occasions when it speaks of Jesus, and it speaks, and it uses this word spatula now, or something it's called. But it meant to have a gut feeling. You know, you ever had something that hits you so hard you felt it in your guts? And that's literally the Greek word, when the word for compassion, when it says he was moved with it. It wasn't that you just had some emotionalism. He literally felt it in his gut. It's like when you get the news of a loved one that's passed, or you feel like you've been hit in the gut. And we talk about it, it's a slang term, but that's literally what the Greek language meant, that he felt it in his bowels. He felt it within, deep within him. He wasn't just moved with sympathy or whatever. He was literally moved deep on the inside. And I want to talk to you this week, and I want to challenge you to allow the Lord to move you with compassion this week. Instead of holding back. And it's like if you've ever watched this very strong man that suddenly had to give in to his emotions, where he was trying to be strong and then he just couldn't hold it anymore and he just gave in to it. And this week I want to challenge you to allow the Lord to let you be moved with compassion. So let's read that. Our text will be in Mark 1. A leper, which lepers in that day could mean not just modern-day leprosy as we know it, but any skin disease that was contagious. A leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, now notice this, if you are willing, he didn't ask if he was able. He knew that he was able. But a leper in that day, he had to stay without 6 feet of anybody. He couldn't come within 6 feet. He was not permitted in your home. Even if his hand went into your home was declared unclean. He could not attend synagogue. No one could touch him, because if you did, you became unclean. Now think about it, because this leper had not been touched probably in years and years. And I want you to notice what happens when he comes on Jesus. He said, not if you're able. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion. Everybody say, moved with compassion. Moved. See, normally the scriptures never say what's happening on the inside of somebody. It says they went, they did, they said this, they said that. But in Jesus' case, it says, and we're going to look at this in numerous cases, he was moved with compassion. And he did something that was absolutely ceremonially and unacceptable. Something that was against the law, it would make him unclean. But how many know that when Jesus touches somebody, he doesn't become unclean. He doesn't get infected. He infects whatever he touches. And the Bible says, moved in his guts, moved literally in his bowels, moved with a gut reaction. He was moved with compassion. Say that with me one more time. Moved with compassion. Stretched out his hand and touched him. You got to know that probably he had not been touched in years. And he stretched out his hand and he touched him. And he said to him, I am, everybody say, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I want to talk to you this morning about move with compassion, just a few minutes. Father, I pray this morning that you'd get us beyond religiousness and hardness of hearts and all that we have at times happens to us. And let us be conformed to your image, that we can be moved with compassion. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. He was moved with compassion. One definition of compassion is it's two hearts tugging at the same load. I always like that analogy and that thing in my brain. I see two ropes and they're around, with one heart and two people pulling. It's tugging at the same, two hearts tugging at the same load. Compassion is not sympathy or empathy or just agreement. It literally, let me just say this, compassion is seeing something wrong and then doing something about it. It's a good definition. One of the best examples is the story Jesus gave about the Good Samaritan. You remember that story in Luke chapter 7? It says, Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest going down, now listen, from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, these two places, a priest would have been in Jerusalem at church. And so get the picture of this. He probably had his one time to be able to serve the temple. And he was coming from a religious high, and he was heading from Jerusalem back down to Jericho. And notice this, he'd just been in the house of God, he'd been worshiping Jehovah, he did all those things. He probably burnt the candles and started the incense, and he read the Torah, and he'd done all those things, and he leaves church, and he's going down, and he says, he was going down that road, and when he saw the man, he did what? When he pulled out, he left Victory, and he went to a restaurant, and he didn't leave but a dollar tip. Come on, somebody, help me out here. All right? Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him, passed on by the other side. But a Samaritan who was on the journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt what? Felt what? He felt compassion. Came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. Whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor that fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one that showed what? Our compassion. You want to be a neighbor? Show compassion. If you want to be a person that the Lord signals out, show compassion. A couple things. Let me give you 4 principles of compassion out of that story that I saw. Number one is this. Even good religious people can lack compassion. There was a sign on a church I passed one time. This is true. It said, you know, they had their time at the bottom. Sunday a.m., 10 a.m. only. Above the sign it says, we care about you. Sundays 10 a.m. only. Come on, somebody. And how many know there's a lot of truth to that? We care about you Sundays at 10 a.m. only. Even compassion can be lacking in good religious people. Second is compassion means involvement. I never forget, we was out in California one time, and in one of the little cities, I read an article in a newspaper out there in the L.A. Times. And it was a story of a father. He was telling the story of his, I think it was 11-year-old son, Ian. And his name was Sean. And he said, Ian got leukemia, and we had to give him chemo. And said all his hair fell out. And the first day that I took him back to class, he was really upset because, you know, he's bald. And he said, I will never forget all the days of my life. He said, we walked into his class, and there was 14 other boys along with girls, but the 14 boys in that class had all agreed the week before they went to the barber shop and every one of them was shaved heads. Come on, somebody. And he said, I will never tell you, cannot put into words the listen, even good religious people can lack compassion sometimes because we don't want to be taken. We don't want to be, you know, all this. You know what I've learned in my life? I'd rather be taken at times and become a cynic. To where nobody ever. Number two is compassion means involvement, as I said, and they got involved. Third thing is it takes time and it'll cost you something. And that's some of the things about compassion. One of the things I like reading about Jesus was all the different times in the Bible it says he was moved with compassion. We at times say that the only way that moves the hand of God is faith, and that's true to a point. But the Bible says he was moved with compassion over and over and over. We talk about that God's not into pity parties and you need faith and you absolutely need that to please God. But there are seasons when he's moved with compassion. First thing, he's got a compassion for souls. Watch this. This next one. A caution. Go to the next. Go to the scripture, if you would. Do I have a number one on he has compassion for souls? I'm sorry. I'll tell you that one. Seeing the people, he felt. Everybody say the next word. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." He saw them, and what moved him was, what he saw was he felt compassion for souls. And Jesus said, that's what we need. There are few harvesters. And the reason is because there's a lacking of compassion for the lost. The Bible says when he saw them, he was moved. And that's that gut-wrenching thing again. He was moved. He felt compassion. He was moved. You know, if he'd have been around Jesus, he was a man that was moved easily. He was a man that felt compassion. He was not just somebody that was stoic and a thinker. He was moved with compassion. And he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that God would send them out. You know, sometimes compassionate people cross boundaries that you shouldn't. Compassionate people will see what other people do not see. I remember one time we were in whenever you go with Jasmine, you just got to get ready because she moves. I mean, she doesn't let her brain get in her way of her heart. Come on, somebody. I remember one time we're out here at Airline Highway and Greenville Springs Road, you know, that clover leaf. I mean, we're going, she says, stop the car, stop the car. I thought I'd hit something, run over something. I pull along the side. She jumps out, runs across the clover leaf, and there's a guy on a bicycle that she had seen a day or two before, and she had money in her hand running toward this guy. I think she scared him to death. She was going to bless this guy. And so, but just compassion that happens out. Jesus said, therefore, pray. The second thing, he had compassion for people that were sick. In Matthew, it says, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt what? He went ashore and doesn't say anything about faith. He says he just was moved with compassion when he saw them. You know, one of the things he said, he was moved with compassion when he saw the sick. I don't know how you're moved. Third thing is he was moved when he had compassion for the hungry. Watch this one. Those days there were again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat. And Jesus called his disciples and said to them, everybody say with me, I feel what? I feel compassion. When's the last time you let your heart be moved with compassion on somebody that didn't have anything to eat? Oh, they're just sitting there at the corner. They're just raking in money. They probably got them a condo somewhere in Florida. You know, they work the streets and they work this city, work the next city. How many know there can be, you can entertain strangers, angels unaware by entertaining strangers sometimes. You know, there are seasons when we've got to let the cynicism, and sometimes we do that because of our greed. We just want to do that because we don't really want to give anyway. Can I get a better amen in this place? You know, there was two cartoons, a cartoon one time Lee Strobel has on his door. He's a writer. He said it's a cartoon. He shows two turtles. And one turtle says this, I want to ask God why he doesn't do something about the poor and those in poverty and those who are sick and da-da-da. And the other turtle says, I'm afraid to ask God because I'm afraid he might ask me too. He had compassion for the unclean. Mark 1, we read about the leper. I don't know who you count as being unclean, but he had compassion for him. In that day, the theology among the good religious people were those people got leprosy because that's a judgment of God on them. What group do you think the judgment of God is on because of their sin? We'll leave that one right there. He had compassion on the sorrowful, Luke 7. Watch this one. As he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, what does it say? How many know that God can feel compassion when you're in a lonely, desperate situation? More than even when you have just being moved by faith. I'll never forget one of the pastors I talked to when I first started pastoring, he said the first time he went into an area where one of his members was in a hospital where it was highly contagious. And he said, you had to put on the mask and all that. And he said, I went up there and he said, I'll never forget when he stretched his hand out to me and I stretched mine to his and I had that big old glove on. And he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, I'm not recruiting and telling you to do something that's unsafe. But he said, I can tell you, it was one of the most awkward moments, because he said, I had this big old glove on, and he said, and the Lord, now don't you do this unless the Lord speaks to you. But he said, you know what? The Lord spoke to me, and he said, I just took that glove off. And he said, I always remember in my mind, it was the day the gloves came off, and I was able to touch again. When that leper came to Jesus, like I told you, he'd not been touched in a long, long time. I remember one of the great doctors that worked in India, and he worked in leper colony, and he said he understood leprosy, what could or could not be transmitted. And he said he'll never forget the first time he touched one of the lepers to treat him. And he said that leper began to shake and just began to cry, and he didn't understand why. And he found out because he said, no one had touched me in years. Nobody had touched me in years. You know, there comes a sense when you show compassion. Compassion comes in all different ways. But I did this. I want to do this for you. This one of the things that Jasmine and I have done for years. We're helping down in Haiti. And in Haiti, with the children, we're supporting a child. And a number of you are doing that. Let me show you, just encourage you this morning. If you've not done that, let me encourage you and show you something, a picture this morning. What can happen in a life of a child or an adult that you show compassion to, you'll never know. There's an organization called Compassion that they're doing in Haiti a lot like Compassion is doing. But I want to show you the end result of someone that one day, many years ago, decided just to take a packet and help a child and send money monthly to help them. And I want to show you what compassion can do. Because you never know. This is a testimony. Bring the lights down if you would. This is a testimony of a young girl who grew up in the Philippines in a very tragic family. And yet she became part of an outreach, Compassion. And I want you to think of Compassion today as your... Because there is an organization and we're part of that too. But Compassion can be anywhere. And I want you to watch this. Throw your heads and I think it'll help you.
Aloha everyone. My name is Rafonzel Fazon and I am 21 years old. I was born and raised in a slum area in a small town of Butuan City in Mindanao, Philippines. I spent my childhood days in a house built mainly on wood and on coconut leaves, or nipa as we call it in the Philippines. Our nipa house actually had holes that gave us instant showers during rainy seasons. And I remember as a child, I enjoyed it so much when there were rain showers inside our very own house. But such joy was replaced with sadness when one night, in the midst of a downpouring rain, I saw both my mother and father standing, waiting for the rain to stop, while watching my two brothers and I, as we sleep in a small portion of our house where it did not rain. I grew up in a disarrayed family. My father was a drunkard, and he was also a man with a very bad temper. And our family greatly suffered because of that. We constantly struggled for food and money. And on most days, we still have to wait for a father to come home to see if he has something for us for dinner. And there was one night when he went home with just nothing. And our mother, my mother, who was determined to save our family from sleeping with hungry stomachs, went to our neighbor to ask if they could give us some help and promised that we would pay for it when we have the money. But sadly, our neighbor refused to give us any help for fear that we won't be able to pay them right away. And for a very small child, as a young child, I asked myself, why do we have to borrow from other people just so we can have something to eat? I saw the pain in my mother's eyes, and I also felt the shame. Seeing that my family is far from having a better life, I've always felt insecure about myself and about my family situation. Every time Christmas comes, I would always say, maybe next year we'll have a better house, a house that has a roof that doesn't leak. Maybe next year we'll have enough food to eat so that we won't have to worry about what to eat tonight or tomorrow. Maybe next year we'll have enough money to cope with all our basic needs. But for a small child, it was such a struggle to keep that tiny hope I had for myself because the face of poverty was just right before my very eyes. But the brand new hope started to grow when I became part of Compassion International school-based program. I was 5 years old when my mother first brought me to a Compassion project. And because of compassion, I got to go to a Christian school. And it was in that school that I learned the most meaningful truth that has changed my life forever. And it's this, that Jesus knows me and that He loves me just the way I am. Because of compassion, I've realized that hope can actually be found in Christ Jesus. I had my first Bible because of my compassion project, and one of my very first memory verses is 1 John 4:8, and it says, God is love. And just the knowledge that such a great love exists for me and my entire family has indeed changed my life as well as my family members' lives forever. When I became a beneficiary of compassion, I realized that I wasn't only receiving aid. I was in fact given the assurance of Christ's love through other people's kindness. Kathy Green, my sponsor for 15 years, has been my example of what it is to live genuine love in action. She showed me how the love of God knows no race, no distance, and no language barrier. I was just once a packet, but somewhere in Australia, Kathy stood up and she chose to make a difference. And I am here right before every one of you, and I say that Kathy has indeed succeeded in making a lasting influence in my life. Through her sponsorship, my mother was brought into a closer relationship to God, and because of her faith led to the transformation of my father. My father, who was once a drunkard, is now a good and faithful father. And he's now a member of our church's evangelism team. Both my two brothers are now in the ministry. Our eldest is a youth pastor, and the other one is a keyboard player, and he's a member of the worship team. Salvation has now rested in our household. Jeremiah 31:3 says, For I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. God chose to bring not only me into His presence, He has gathered my entire family before Him as well. But the wonderful story did not end there. Because of compassion, I got the opportunity to go to a premium university in the Philippines through the Leadership Development Program. And just last March 2008, I was able to finish my degree in mass communications. And by God's grace, I was able to graduate magna cum laude because of the grace of God. And now, I'm becoming an impact to a lot of tribal people, as I'm now part of a three-year-old missions organization called LUMAD, or Leaders United for Missions and Development. In Jeremiah 18:6, it says, As the clay is in a potter's hand, so are you in my hand. I was just a piece of dirt. But God took me, totally insignificant. I was a piece of dirt. But God took me and gave me hope and gave me love. And now I am stellar. I shine because of His fame. And now I say that because of compassion and because of LDP and of course because of the grace of God, I know that poverty does not have a hold in me. Because the authority of Christ over my life is now in my heart. I am special because of Christ in my life. Thank you very much. And may God gloriously, gloriously bless every one of you, your families, and your church. Thank you. To Him be all the glory.
Praise for Fonzel is that actually your sponsor did hear your talk today. Not in a live feed. But your sponsor, Kathy Green, is here as a delegate this morning. Kathy Green, could you please come forward?
No way!
Thank you. Rafonso has obviously never met her sponsor before in her entire life. And maybe I better pass these Kleenex out to all of you. But the amazing thing is, and well, I'll give you a word to say if you want to first. Kathy Green.
Oh, it's very hard to speak. I'm just so excited to be here. In 1993, I was at a mission convention in my town, and Compassion had a stand there, and I made a decision then that I was going to sponsor a child. I picked out Rafonso's photograph because she looks so sad in her photograph. And, yeah, it seemed a small thing to do at the time, a small decision to make. But over the years, as I've read Rafonso's letter and seen how the Lord has worked in her life, it has been a blessing and a joy to be involved, to share our Lord's compassion with somebody else. It's just been so exciting. And I would encourage everybody here who has not sponsored a child or not thought of it to really think seriously about this, to do this today, because to see what you can do in the life of somebody else is just so exciting. And the Lord will bless whatever you do, whatever decision you make. Thank you.
Yeah, keep the lights down. Yeah, keep the lights down. You know, she's just normal. Close your eyes. She's just a normal person like you and me. She didn't do anything, and she just one day decided to show compassion. I want you to listen to this last song we're going to do before we break out today. Quick.
A scene of empty eyes. The silence speaks that life's not fair. They feel the weight of other hunger, and I feel the weight of their despair. And that's a burden hard to bear. Well, I can't change the world, but I can live.
one more good clap offering. Would you do that? Everybody stand up. We are supporting kids in Haiti right now, $20 a month, doing it for 10 months. So if you'd like to start, and maybe you didn't get a chance to do that, you can do it today. Just on the envelope, stick it in the missions box, but this is for a child for Haiti. You can do it all at once. You can do it $20 a month, any way you'd like to do it, and we're going to support them. And let me just encourage you this week. Let your heart of compassion come out. Stop being cynical. Stop being hard-hearted. Just let your heart give. And, you know, when the Lord went by, I remember at the Last Supper that when Judas left, they thought that Jesus had told him to go give money to the poor. That's what they said they thought he said. And for them to think he said that, that tells me he must have given money to the poor before. Is that right? You follow me? For them to say, well, he must have told him to go, because he was a treasurer, he must have said, go give money to the poor. And I always thought they wouldn't have come up with that on their own. They must have seen him do that before. So he gave. And Paul and Jesus said, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And this Christmas season, our Thanksgiving Christmas season, why don't you give? This Wednesday, we have an opportunity to help those. They'll never pay you back. They will never pay you back. But there is a God in heaven who will be no man's debtor. And he says, give and I will repay, says the Lord. So bow your heads this morning. Would you do that? Real simple sermon, but I think it's for your heart. You know, you don't know what you'll do in the changed life. You may never know until heaven. Some of you are going to have that experience that Kathy Green had in heaven. You're going to be reunited. God's going to bring you with someone that you've helped. And you're going to see what you've done. And the Lord and your heaven will become two heavens. And your love and your grace and your joy in heaven will become two joys. You will enjoy when you give. And so, Father, this morning we pray, change us into your image. We want to be changed, Lord, to become like you, to move through this life, moved with compassion. And, Lord, we want to do that, not become religious Levites or Pharisees that pass by the other side. We want our gloves to come off that we can feel and touch. We want the part of our hearts that become hard to be softened. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see as sheep, see people as sheep without a shepherd that need to be led, see people in distress, see the lonely, see the brokenhearted, and to be moved with compassion, Lord. I pray over our congregation this morning that you would touch us afresh and new and let the compassion of the Lord flow through us. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said a good amen. Would you give the Lord a good clap offering if you would? I promise.